Well, the short answer, of course, is that the Holy Spirit is God, just as much as Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. The Spirit was present from the very beginning of time. It was with God when the earth was formed. It was present throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. But it was on this day, on Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit took a leading role and became very present in God's kingdom, just as Joel prophesied that it would. And it began with the filling of Jesus' disciples on that morning, and that work that took place in the upper room when those disciples were filled with the Spirit continues today and every day, and we celebrate that. Now, a few years ago, as I was looking through the internet trying to find artwork that was pertinent to Pentecost, I came across a picture. I think Will's going to put the picture up for me. This picture depicts the fires being lit on the heads of the disciples, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, I've tried to find the name of this painting. I do not know who painted this picture. I don't know what the name of the picture is or where it is hanging. And I'm no art critic. I'll tell you that first and foremost. And when I look at this picture, I think it's good. I certainly am not blown away, and I don't think it's great. I think by comparison, there are probably better depictions of the Pentecost. But honestly, it wasn't necessarily the picture that caught my eye on this, but the caption that someone had put beneath the picture. And this is what the caption read. It said, "Jesus breathed on his disciples a holy infection of grace." That's an interesting way to think about the events of the Pentecost. A holy infection of grace. Now, I think it's safe to say that in the midst of our corona craziness that we have been enduring, that for me to try and liken the Holy Spirit to some infectious virus is preposterous and almost borders on blasphemous. And taken at face value, you may have a point. But today I intend to turn the tables on your perception, and I want to show you just how accurate this analogy of the Holy Spirit behaving like an infectious virus really is. Now, to help me illustrate this point, I have chosen to borrow a tool from the greatest of all teachers, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you a parable about this particular event. Take a listen. Once there were three men who were all exposed to a virus. The virus did not originate from man or from microbe, but was born of God and was God and was called the Holy Spirit. One man resisted the virus with all of his being, reveling in the sins of the flesh and creating an environment that simply was not hospitable for the Holy Spirit virus to take root. This man was never infected by the Spirit, and he never knew God. Now the second man was instantly infected by the virus, but he never became fully overcome by it. The virus dwelled within him, and he could feel the effects of this virus in his life, but he never surrendered and allowed it to direct his actions. The man held tightly to the distractions of this world, and as a result, the virus smoldered in him like wet logs, and a fire never quite ignited. So he provided very little spiritual warmth or light. And in the end, this man was lukewarm to God. Now the third man was also infected by the virus immediately. In this man, however, the virus found a willing host that allowed the Spirit to overwhelm him, and he was alight with the fever of God. It burned its way through him like a wildfire, affecting every cell of his being that was of this world, filling them with the essence of the Spirit. The virus multiplied itself in this man until it overflowed from his body, and he went out into the world, and he infected any willing person that he could find to expose to this Holy Spirit virus. This man now fully filled with the Spirit, was a true servant of God. Now, let me be clear. This parable is not meant to serve as any type of theological explanation or scientific explanation for what the Holy Spirit truly is. Parables, as you know, are simply analogies or allegories meant and used to explain particularly difficult concepts, and in this case, difficult religious concepts. And Jesus frequently used this technique. So I have chosen to use this vehicle to try and provide an alternative, albeit slightly bizarre, way to think about the Holy Spirit. And in light of recent events, I think Evirus sounds like a perfect vehicle to use as my analogy for the Spirit. I mean, come on, we are all now professionals in the discussion of all things viruses. We use words like pandemic and shelter at home and social distancing every single day of our lives. Whereas 4 months ago, these were terms that probably would rarely make it into our conversations. And so I have decided to shamelessly capitalize on these new events in our life while everybody has a heightened awareness of what viruses are. And in doing so, just maybe this can foster a new and fresh understanding of what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, before I unpack this parable, I want to take a few minutes and show you what I think is an incredible video about the behavior of viruses. First, I'm doing this because, well, it's just very cool. But more importantly, I think that after you watch this, you will be able to have a much better understanding of what it is we're talking about today. So Will's going to roll this video. Take a look. Okay, so tell me that that is not an awesome video. And it should be a reminder that A, viruses are terrifying, and B, our bodies are absolutely amazing creations. So now that you are all experts in virology, let's go ahead and move forward, and we'll discuss each of these individuals from the parable. Now, the first man in this parable was never even infected by the Holy Spirit. This is the guy that practices extreme spiritual quarantining. He will do absolutely anything he can to avoid contracting the virus. He never leaves his house. He orders his groceries online, and when he goes to pick them up, he wears a full biohazard suit. He doesn't let his kids come home from college, and nobody, and I mean nobody, gets in or out of his house without authorization and a temperature check. Do you guys know anybody that's like that? I think you might. Now, all kidding aside, there is no doubt that we are constantly surrounded by people who simply refuse to be exposed to, let alone infected by, the Holy Spirit. And although Jesus promised us that he will stand at the door of our hearts and he will knock, and when we invite him in, he will enter into our lives, Jesus will not enter in when he is not invited. He will not force his way into your life. And sometimes people genuinely want nothing to do with God or religion, and they instead prefer to enjoy all of the things that this life has to offer, all of the shiny little distractions. But the indelible truth is that the Holy Spirit simply cannot dwell where it is not welcome. And this man, it seems, is somehow immune to the effects of this Holy Spirit virus. Have you ever met someone who never seems to get sick? There are people out there who, it doesn't matter how often they come in contact with illnesses, how many kids they have that go to preschool, they just never seem to get sick. And there was a study at the University of Michigan that proved that these people really exist. They took a group of willing study participants, and they exposed them all to a particularly contagious form of the common cold. Now, what was interesting about the results of this study is that half of the people who were exposed to this virus never had any symptoms of the virus whatsoever, while the other half had varying degrees of illness all the way from mild symptoms to very, very ill. And this was not something that they necessarily expected. Strangely, we've actually seen a very similar response with our coronavirus infection, that there are so many people that have this infection, but they demonstrate no symptoms whatsoever, which is part of the quiet danger of the virus. Well, the scientists, in reviewing the findings of this study, determined that there were probably two primary reasons why these group of people didn't seem to be affected by the virus. And the first has to do with this piece of the video that we just saw, where it discusses the lock on the virus and the key in your cells. Some people simply do not have the right lock for the key that is the virus. And so when that happens, the virus is never able to enter your cells and begin replicating, so the viral infection never takes place. Now, the second reason that the investigators determined we probably have a group of people who don't seem to get sick is some people have hyper-aggressive immune responses, and that their body has an amazing capacity to intercept and eradicate foreign invaders before they have an opportunity to set up shop and wreak havoc. And once again, this is because we are incredibly, amazingly made. God is just an amazing bioengineer, and this is one of the gifts that he has given us. But my point here is that, like a virus, the Holy Spirit requires a willing recipient to take up residence in, one that will express the right lock for his key, one whose immune system is willing to let the Spirit invade and have its way with him. But this is not the case for our first unfortunate individual. And as a result, this man tragically never comes to know God. So let's move now to our second individual. Now, this is the one who I think most of us are probably most familiar with. and consequently, this is the one I plan to spend the most time speaking about this morning. Unlike the first man, this particular individual is readily infected by the virus. The virus enters the man's cells and begins to replicate itself, establishing a new home in this host. And this is exactly what happens to us when we allow God to place the Holy Spirit into our lives, when we invite the presence of the Spirit into ourselves. In Ezekiel, God tells this to his people. He says, I will give you new hearts. I will give you a new spirit that is faithful to me. I will remove your stubborn hearts from you, and I will give you hearts that obey me. I will put my spirit in you. I will make you want to obey my rules, because I want you to be careful to keep my laws. Now, this new heart, this dwelling of the Spirit, is exactly what happened to the disciples on Pentecost Sunday when they were overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that happened to Saul, who, until he became overcome with the Spirit, was actually in the business of persecuting Christians. But then after the Spirit took up residence within him, he became the most prolific writer and evangelist for the kingdom of God. Even Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Spirit. As he walked into the water and allowed John to baptize him, as he raised his head, the Spirit descended like a dove upon him, and the Spirit took up residence in him. It could easily be argued that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is one of the most fundamental requirements of being a Christian. Now, unfortunately for our second man, he soon begins to fight against the Spirit. Now, he doesn't do this intentionally, and he doesn't do it all at once, mind you. But little by little, the man begins to fight off the effects of the virus on his life. Have any of you ever been around someone who has a cold, and they are just determined to share it with everybody? They cough all over the place and don't cover their cough. They're sneezing. They're wiping their hands on every surface they can come in contact with. And as you're watching the events of the cough, you can just see those virus particles flying through the air. And you can feel them crawling down your nose like we saw in the video. And before long, you've got that little tickle or that little itch in the back of your throat, and you know it's happened. You know that you have been infected. Well, if you're like me in a situation like that, I literally will do absolutely everything I can. I will fight tooth and nail to avoid being sick. I just hate it. I just will do whatever I can to not be sick. And sadly, our spiritual lives can honestly be a little bit like this. Like this second man, we allow the Spirit to dwell within us, but we never fully give in to it. And instead, we find ourselves wrestling with it for the control in our lives. And then all too easily, we become caught up with the distractions of the life. The phones, the social media, work, things that take us away from the work of the Lord. We spend more time concerned with our own personal gratification than we do in matters of the Spirit. Now, Paul wrote very strongly about this type of behavior in Romans when he said, "So then, brothers, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." But unfortunately, as it turns out, the temptations that are surrounding us in this world tend to be a very effective vaccine against this Holy Spirit virus. Jesus' brother James had even more stern warnings about being distracted by the things of this world and allowing those things to separate us from Christ. James said, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Now, I don't know about you, but I have absolutely no interest in being an enemy of God. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happens when we place the priorities of this world above the priorities of the Spirit. So for this second man, his sins of the flesh act like an antiviral medication, a medication that you would give to suppress the replication of a virus. And when that happens, it suppresses the ability of the Holy Spirit to multiply and to overwhelm him. And as a result, the spirit within him begins to smolder, and he never catches fire. And consequently, he becomes lukewarm to God. And by the virtue of John's words and revelations, we know what becomes of lukewarm believers. They will be spit out of God's mouth. Well, I don't like that either. That's not an image that I find very satisfying or very comforting. Fortunately for us, we have grace. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just up and abandon the body every time that it is stifled by man's fallible nature. God knows who we are and what we do, and he accounted for this. There is a virus you are probably all familiar with called chickenpox. Maybe you've had it. I know I did. My mother tied mitts to my hands so that I wouldn't scratch myself to death. The chickenpox virus is very interesting because once it goes away from you, it doesn't disappear entirely. It goes latent or dormant in your system. And then years later, maybe decades later, that virus can rear its ugly head again as shingles, just a different manifestation of the same virus. And this particular infection of shingles happens most commonly when our body's defenses are weakened, when we're under stress, when we're sick, because that is when it allows for the virus to gain a foothold again and begin to multiply. And in the same manner, so too will the Holy Spirit lay quiet within us until we abandon our defenses and we allow it to awaken. And isn't it amazing that when we find ourselves in the deepest, darkest corners of desperation in our life, that the Holy Spirit seems to speak the loudest to us? And this isn't a coincidence. It is because it's in that moment where we have become defenseless. We have abandoned our feeble attempts to become the masters of our own destiny and have instead allowed the Spirit of God to direct us. And so this now brings us to our third and final man. The third individual in this parable is the person that we should all strive to become as followers of Christ. This willing man allowed his body to be transformed by the effects of the Holy Spirit virus. He didn't fight against it. He didn't try to slow it down. He just let it happen. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I personally will use every single conceivable defense imaginable to try and fight off any type of cold or virus or infection. I just don't like to be sick. And of course, like most of you, more often than not, I'm going to end up losing. I'm going to end up getting sick. And as strange as it seems, once the effects of the virus have overtaken my will to fight it off any longer, as I lay there languishing helplessly on my bed of suffering, yes, I know that sounds dramatic, but I am a terrible sick person. You can ask my wife, she will acknowledge that. As I lay there vanquished, I find a certain peace in the surrender and having been vanquished by this virus. Because sometimes you just have to give in so that the recovery and the healing process can begin. And I believe that this is what it truly means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And I emphasize this word, filled. And I do so for a very specific reason. Because you see, There is a distinct and crucial difference between having an indwelling of the Holy Spirit and being filled with it. As followers of Jesus Christ, at the time of our salvation, we all accept the Spirit into our lives, and it begins to dwell within us. But it is when the Spirit begins to control our activities, begins to dictate what we do and what we say and how we behave, that we begin to demonstrate what it means to be filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody said this very eloquently when he claimed that at the time of our salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in to abide with us. But at the filling, the Holy Spirit takes over to preside over us. And the filling can only occur when we surrender our will to that of God. Because only then can the power of the Holy Spirit truly burn its way through us. And much like the fever that accompanies a viral infection, so too will you be on fire for God when you are filled. I'm sure that many of you have seen or experienced what it means or what it feels like to be on fire for God, because it's an impressive thing. You can walk into a room and tell when a person is just so overwhelmed by the Spirit that they just have to share it with somebody. They are overwhelmed with this virus. It has transformed their life, and it just starts to ooze out of them, and they just want to give it to someone because they are so spiritually contagious, and they just can't wait to infect other people with it. Man, doesn't that sound amazing? Isn't that what we should all want from our Christian walk? Now, it goes without saying that no one other than Jesus lives the life of this third man. No one can be that perfect all the time, because we are human. It is our goal to be like this third man. But sometimes the fires of the Spirit do get stoked in our lives. The fever breaks. We begin to get well with the flesh again. But the beauty of the Spirit is that, much like a cold or the flu, once you've gotten over it, doesn't mean that you can't get it again. You may not have the same version of it. It may have different symptoms or different effects on you, but it is no less powerful, it is no less filling, and the results are no less important. This is the beauty of the Spirit. You can be filled over and over again. And in that filling, whether God chooses to use you like the disciples to go out and heal many, or whether he uses you to simply have a servant's heart and go out into your community and help serve those in need, that's God's will to decide for you. But the most important thing is, are you willing to surrender to that will? Because this cannot happen until you are willing to lay down your defenses and allow the grace of the Holy Spirit to have its way with you. And when we do this, when we surrender, then we can all get busy doing the work of the kingdom, because there is much work to be done. There is a world out there that desperately needs the salvation that can be found in the grace of God. This is what happened to the man in the third parable, and this is what I pray for each and every one of us, that we can strive to be like that person, so that we can strive to allow that fire to burn within us, to become overwhelmed by the effects of the virus, so that we can become contagious and go out and infect others. Now let me close this morning by reaffirming what I said at the beginning of the sermon this morning, that the Holy Spirit, while somewhat mysterious, is God, just as much as Jesus Christ is. And the Spirit desires not just to abide in you, but it wants to preside over your life, directing you, helping you to keep the commandments. Like a virus, it wants to enter every single cell of your life that represents this world and overwhelm them. to transform them, to begin making copy after copy after copy of this virus until it just oozes out of you, until you are on fire with the contagious fever of the infection. And unlike the coronavirus, which we've all desperately tried to avoid, this is a virus, my people, that you want to get. You should be crying for it. You should be seeking out those people on fire and saying, I want what you have. Infect me with your spirit. This is what happened on Pentecost Sunday. The disciples, saddened by the loss of their master, became filled with an even more powerful, more present sense of God when the Spirit descended upon them. And in doing so, they went out into the world and they began to convert others. They began to introduce and to infect others to this Holy Spirit virus. And in doing so, they brought the kingdom of God just a little bit closer to earth. I assure you that this infectious filling of the Spirit is out there. It's waiting for you. It wants you to give in and surrender. It wants you to acknowledge that your defenses are simply not strong enough and that you need the Holy Spirit to direct your life. Because I'm telling you, people, this is one infection that you simply cannot afford to miss. Won't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the Pentecost, for sending us the Holy Spirit. As a human being, you can only be in one place at one time, but as a spirit, Lord, you are omnipotent and omnipresent. You can be everywhere and everything to those who are willing to receive you. Lord, I just pray that you would overwhelm us, that your spirit would become a part of us. It would fuse to our cells, making copy after copy of your amazing nature so that it begins to spill out of us, Lord. And in doing so, Lord, help us to go out into the world and create a pandemic of grace. This is what you want for us. This is what you want from us. Help us to be strong enough to do your will. Let us be infected by your love. Lord, we love you so much. Amen.